just to keep that relationship on edge. Could be an act of being frustrated with a cat and whatever, and we let it out and it runs out and gets run over and we can't let that go. Or maybe say you're playing a basketball game against Virginia, and say the ref failed to call double dribbles. Double dribble. You know, I don't know necessarily if we know the ref's names, but that event will go on and on and on for a long time. Or maybe you're the Auburn player that accidentally jumped into the person making the three at the end, and oh my gosh, I just barely bumped him and didn't give him a place to land, which was the correct call. And you got to live with the reality of your action just caused your school another year of never getting to the final game. Woo! Heavy. Kind of takes the fun out of watching the game. I don't know if you felt that way at the end of that game. I know that the Texas Tech game helped redeem it for some people here. But our actions have consequences, and unfortunately, we can't take things back. So we come to this scripture in Psalms, a wonderful scripture. Has some great verses about who God is. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. And that is God's love for us. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. This idea of forgiveness is so critical. Last week I shared with you with this quote from Lewis Smedes, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." And I believe that's true for forgiving other people, and it's true for forgiving ourselves. We hold ourselves prisoner when we can't forgive ourselves. Found some good quotes on forgiveness. One forgives to the degree that one loves. Forgive yourself, you're not perfect. Show yourself grace, you are still learning. Show yourself patience, you are on a journey. We're human. Sometimes we do the right thing, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't do it on purpose, intentionally, and sometimes it just happens to us. We made a mistake. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. Whew. Tough one. But we're called to love everyone, right? Love our neighbor as ourselves. We're called to forgive everyone, even ourselves. So, in doing research on this, decided that, you know, maybe we could come up with some steps that will help us. You can Google it. There are a number of different psychologists who would encourage you to do certain things. And here I've tried to put it together at least in three steps for each of us. The first is to name it, to own it, but don't be owned by it. We know that, for instance, if we hold on to our guilt or shame, it can have a physical effect on us. A researcher at Stanford found out that high blood pressure and depression and digestive troubles and so on all could be caused because we hold on to that guilt or shame, and we need to let it go. And so part of it is to call it out for what it is, to name it. I love this passage from the Apostle Paul. You'll never have me memorize this passage. You'll see why shortly. "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good, but in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. You understand why I won't memorize that? So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you ever said to yourself, maybe you're with your child, now I'm not going to get angry with my child when they walk in. I'm just going to be happy and go lucky and just be so upbeat and joyful. And they walk in and they tell you something happened and you jump all over them. That's happened to me one time. We do exactly what we don't want to do. But it's good for us to name it. The second is to confess it, to talk it out. Confession is good for the soul, isn't in the Bible, but it is a truth in reality, isn't it? There's something that happens when we confess. David, create in me a clean heart, O God. We have this passage in 1 John. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So you and I are to confess that before God and to say to God, we are sorry for what we did. We trespassed. We got off the right way that would lead to life. And as a result, we've missed it. We've missed the mark. That's what that Greek word means. It's like we know we should do this to love and we chose not to do it. And so we need to confess that to God. That is the beginning of experiencing forgiveness in our lives. In fact, it's good if we say it to someone else. If we tell that to a friend or someone who cares deeply about us, that, you know what, I've done this, I don't want to do this, help me. And something puts us on record of saying to a friend or someone that cares deeply about us that says, yes, I'm willing to change. I want to change. And in so claiming it or naming it and confessing it, there's something that happens to us that says, yes, we are making a decision not to do that. And the last is to free it. Let the past be past. Again, listen to the Apostle Paul. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize in Christ Jesus. We are to free it, to let the past be the past. I came across a testimony by someone in AA. I learned that my past mistakes don't have to define who I am today. But as I sat there in my first few months worth of AA meetings, observing everything, I looked at the people around me and I listened to their stories. I heard tales, tragic, horrifying, heartbreaking, and yes, even some funny, from people who seemed to have their act together. They had moved past their mistakes and sins. They would acknowledge them, true, but having done that, they had moved forward and were actually living their lives in the present. Maybe, just maybe, if they could put their sordid pasts behind them, perhaps I could do the same. Perhaps I could get my act together as well. I learned to let go of everything that I learned in AA. This is the lesson that has stayed with me and had the most profound impact on my life. So maybe for you, it can be literally acting out you forgiving someone else, but maybe you put an empty chair and you talk to that chair like you're a friend and you offer forgiveness to yourself. Maybe there's some sort of act of self-forgiveness that you write a letter to yourself and you put that sin and you say, I don't want to do this anymore and Lord, I need your forgiveness and I need to forgive myself of this. And you burn it up. Some act, some way of marking that you are truly trying to forgive yourself. And then I'd say resolve to live your life with more care. To resolve to live your life with more care. I don't know what your image is of God. It's not dog spelled backwards. It's like being a grandparent. You know, little JJ, this was a grandparent's day. You just love your child, your grandchild. It's like the father in the parable of the prodigal son that comes running towards the son, and even though the son is dealing with just bad decisions and so on, the father offers a second chance, a second chapter, and says, you know what, even though you don't feel like it, you're still my child. I love you unconditionally. That's how much God loves us. That's what the choir sing about. That's what our psalm talks about. Abounding in steadfast love, merciful and gracious. God loves us. Remember the story about the woman caught in adultery, right? They decided to bring this woman. Who knows where the guy is? It's about the woman. And what Jesus is going to do, is he going to do what the law says to stone this person caught in adultery? Jesus came to show us God's heart. So he bends down, writes on the ground. Scholars have been trying to figure out, what did he write? Did he write the Ten Commandments? Did he write sins and draw little arrows like I might have done? Stands up and he says, you know, you without any sin, you cast the first stone. The scripture says the Presbyterians started to leave first, the elders. Just Jesus and the woman. Who's to condemn you? No one's there. I don't condemn you, Jesus said. Then he says, go and sin no more. I'd say, go and stop hurting yourself. Choose to live your life with more care. So last week I was speaking about the importance of forgiving others. And one of our elders sent me an email of the next morning on a national morning show that I want to show you. Go for it.
The one and the only, Tracy Morgan. He stars as Trey Barker in The Last OG. We had a great conversation a couple of weeks ago at your home talking about this show and how much it reflects your real life and how you wanted to bring pieces of your own story to this show.
Well, it's not just me, but it's people that have contributed to my life and to me as a man and a person and as a stand-up.
And the show is about second chances. And, man, did you get a second chance?
Thing.
We're coming up on the five-year anniversary of the wreck. It took the life of Jimmy Mack, who you just spoke about, and almost took yours.
Yeah.
How was that?
A couple of people, Artie Fuqua, Jeff Malaya, the drivers.
Yeah. So how is that reflected in The Last OG, this idea of second chance?
Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It's always, forgiveness and love is the most powerful thing in the universe. So it's all about forgiveness. Shay didn't have to let me back in my kid's life, but if you remember in an episode when she threw the brick through the cop coven, at the end, very end, she was remembering that she loved me. Mm-hmm. So she forgave me, and we moved forward. That's what forgiveness is about, moving forward. And that's why I love this show, because it's a kind show. It's a dark premise. Let's not forget, it's about crack. It's about prison. Mm. But we are color in a dark place.
In real life, Tracy, who did you have to forgive in order to be in this place after everything that's happened to you?
The driver of the Walmart truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to pray to God for that type of strength. I knew it was an accident. He has a family. And he didn't do nothing to me. He did something for me. When I was able to forgive him, it made me a better person.
What was that moment? In what moment did you forgive him? Do you remember?
I was
it?
In the hospital. It was raining. It was about 3 a.m. and something came over me, and I just got grief, and I started crying. And I closed my eyes in the bed, and I was just, God, please give me the strength to forgive him. And it was done.
Mm-hmm.
14 months later, I hosted SNL.
Wow.
So that's how you are able to be strength. You get your strength. You have forgiveness is for you to move forward with your life. Because if I hadn't done that, I would be bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Kill my friend. He hurt my friends badly. Hurt me badly. I would be bitter. So I had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be done.
We talked about when we were speaking earlier.
Also, those who trespass upon you,
mm-hmm.
you must forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Mm.
Point blank. And I'm going to live by that.
Have you? Is this the new Tracy, or have you always been this way?
Always been this way.
Yeah, you haven't changed.
My first OG was my dad.
Yeah.
He gave me knowledge of self.
Yeah.
And without knowledge of self, you lost. So I will always know who I am. I know what I'm about. I'm a 50-year-old man. I don't play them games. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed.
And you just
and you ain't got to get hit by no truck. You ain't got to get shot. And you ain't got to get stabbed. God forbid you just lay down in your bed and just not wake up.
Because
when he ready to meet you, he going to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just run my race.
Mm-hmm.
I love everybody. White, black, male, female, straight, gay. I love you. And ain't nothing you could do about it.
It's going to be our new model for the church. There's nothing you can do about it. So I don't know. Who do you need to forgive? Is it another person? Is it yourself? Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes we get it and we choose love. And sometimes we miss it and choose another direction that either hurts others or ourselves. We are grateful that you love us unconditionally. Help us to accept your forgiveness and to forgive. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand and affirm these words in 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Please be seated. So part of our ministry here at the church is to help us get connected with God and with one another, to be reconciled with God and with each other. Think about the ways God has gifted you to help people reconnect. God bless you as you give your morning tithes.